Oklahoma is one of the five states that joined the Union in the 20th century. Joining me now to explain which issues matter most to voters in the still relatively young Sooner State is Randy Crable, staff writer for the Tulsa World. I'm very pleased to welcome him to this week's State of the Union. Hi.
Hello.
The state held its primary on February 5th. On the Democratic side, Senator Hillary Clinton won by 23 points, a considerable victory. Does her popularity, is it related to the fact that she was First Lady of Arkansas, which borders on Oklahoma?
It's actually sort of paradoxical. Bill and Hillary Clinton, for the most part, are not popular in Oklahoma. But she has a core of very strong supporters within the Democratic Party machine, if you want to call it that. It's kind of a clunky machine, but nevertheless, she has a lot of supporters within the party. But I think the chances of her actually winning the state in a general election are quite small. Her negatives are pretty high. It's almost 50% of the people say they'd never vote for.
Well, it looks like no Democrat will take Oklahoma, at least in the near future. But does sharing a border with a state of the Deep South reveal anything about the politics of parts of Oklahoma? Because I always think of Oklahoma as being much further west than it actually is.
Well, it's an interesting thing. There's really a lot of states have, for instance, New York, I know, has New York and then upstate, which I guess is almost everything else. In Oklahoma, you have western Oklahoma, which includes Oklahoma City, and eastern Oklahoma, where Tulsa is. And eastern and especially southeastern Oklahoma is very southern. Western Oklahoma is essentially southern. I mean, it's more like Kansas or Texas.
In fact, this is kind of like Texas, where Houston is more of a southern town and San Antonio is more of a western town.
Yes, that's true.
And is that reflected in the politics of the state?
Yeah, very much. I mean, if you look at the Republican primary, the line went almost right down the middle of the state, east and west. The western part of the state, including Oklahoma City, voted for John McCain, and the eastern half of the state, almost every county voted for Mike Huckabee. So the eastern part of the state tends to be more, I guess you would say, populist and socially conservative in a lot of ways. The western half of the state tends to be more Republican and also socially conservative, but not nearly as populist. They tend to be more, I guess you would say, aligned with the party establishment.
Well, Mike Huckabee is also from Arkansas, the neighbor.
He's also from Arkansas.
But it's interesting that despite what you're saying, and it's likely that the Republicans will take the state, that there was a much bigger turnout for the Democrats during the primaries. Why do you think that is? There was still a race going on between Huckabee and McCain at the time.
Well, actually, we have three political parties in Oklahoma. We have Democrats, we have Republicans, and we have Democrats who always vote for Republicans. There's actually about 250,000 more registered Democrats in the state than there are Republicans. But in national elections for president and usually for U.S. Senate, the state tends to vote Republican. And it's because you have so many still Old South conservative Democrats, and especially in the eastern part of the state.
But so, they haven't re-registered as they have in the rest of the South.
They haven't re-registered because a lot of the local politics is still dominated by the Democratic Party. And so historically, you had to register as a Democrat or you never got to vote because everything was decided in the primary.
Well, the governor is a Democrat, but not your traditional Democrat either. And his margin of victory in the last election was only 7,000 votes. There was a third candidate in that race, wasn't there?
Well, no, actually, he won.
This is the first one in 2002. He won a lot bigger in 2006.
And yes, there was, and that was a big upset. I mean, he was kind of a he ran because nobody else would. He was running against Steve Largent, who was a U.S. representative and had been a big football hero in the state, and everybody sort of figured Largent would win. But Henry wound up, his name's Brad Henry, wound up winning by a very narrow margin. And since then, he's become very popular. I mean, our last polling, which is about 2 months old now, but it's been very consistent, his approval rating was 80%.
Now, that's despite the fact that he outlawed cockfighting in the state.
Yeah, well, there's a pretty small cockfighting constituency, and that didn't seem to hurt him. And, you know, he's done some other things. He's promoted a state lottery and has tried to work with the Indian tribes on gambling. We have an enormous number of Indian casinos in the state. Oklahoma has, I think, it's 38 recognized Indian tribes in the state, and they don't have contiguous reservations, so they can put their casinos almost anywhere.
What about the Native American population? Have they been voting in these elections as well? Do they tend to skew Democrat or Republican?
They do vote, and actually, the American Indians are the largest minority group in the state. But it's there's really a lot of shades of red there, if you will. I mean, there are people who belong to one of the Indian tribes, but who are a very small percentage Indian,
mm-hmm.
And so they actually tend to vote like the general population.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that. In some cases, they do tend to vote a little bit more Democratic, but for the most part, the Indians vote pretty much like the general voting public.
I'm talking to Randy Crable, staff writer for the Tulsa World, about Oklahoma on today's States of the Union segment. What are the big issues in Oklahoma? They're the same as what we've been seeing around the country: the economy, immigration, the war in Iraq.
I think so. The polling that we do shows that the economy is the rising concern. Immigration has been on a high level. It's, I think, starting to lose some steam. And the war is, I think there's a lot of conflicted feelings about the war, in that people here tend to be patriotic in the sense that they always, you know, they support the military, but there are a lot of people who also think that it was a mistake to go there in the first place.
Well, Oklahoma is home to a major Air Force base, as well as
Fort Sill. Also a large Army base.
Yeah, Fort Sill and Lawton.
Fort Sill and Lawton, which is the main artillery school, and they have some other functions. And then Tinker Field, just outside of Oklahoma City, is the main maintenance base for the Air Force. So there is a huge military contingent and also civilian employees of the military. And, you know, I don't know what role it played, but it is pretty interesting that in that Republican primary that McCain achieved some of his biggest majorities in the counties around the military bases. I don't know if his military background had anything to do with that or not, but that seemed to be a factor.
Among the states, Oklahoma is second in natural gas production, fifth in crude oil production. Does that make the state more sensitive to the changes in the oil and energy markets?
It does. People don't get quite as upset here when gasoline goes above $3 a gallon, but it also makes a big difference in jobs. And still, although oil and gas are probably not the biggest industries anymore in the state, they're probably the most influential. And you tend to get some of the oil and gas guys have the most money and tend to try and exert the most influence.
Is that why your senior U.S. Senator James Inhofe has been one of the chief critics of the concept of global warming?
I think to please the oil industry? Yeah,
there's no
question about it that Senator Inhofe sees his job in the Senate as defending the carbon-based energy industry. And, you know, that's exactly it. And he's an oil and gas guy himself. But he sees himself as the defender of oil and gas.
Many people around the country see him as kind of ridiculous in some of the things he's said in defense of that. But I guess in Oklahoma it's appreciated. Your other senator, Tom Coburn, is one of the senators who's resisted earmarks. In fact, he recently called for Congress to rein in spending. Mm-hmm. Has that helped his image?
I think he has a very good image among the grassroots voters because they sort of like his independence and feistiness. It's made him somewhat unpopular with the Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. crowd.
Because it's not bringing money into the state.
It's not bringing money into the state. And it's also kind of put him at odds with Inhofe. Because Senator Inhofe will try and get something done, and because Coburn is at odds with almost everybody else in the Senate, they tend to take it out on Inhofe. So Coburn has a pretty good image amongst, like I say, the rank and file people. They understand the idea that you shouldn't be spending money you don't have. Or that, or sort of the suspicion that there's a lot of things going on that aren't really out in the open for the public to see.
Congressman Tom Cole is being featured in this Sunday Times magazine, so mm-hmm. he has become a national figure.
Yes, he represents a district that's includes Fort Sill and Tinker Field, Tinker Air Force Base. And it's essentially southwest and south central Oklahoma. He's a very analytical person, and was very much involved in bringing the state Republican Party into essentially control of the state legislature. He was not in the legislature himself, but he was doing a lot of the work behind the scenes. And he operated he still operates a political consulting business, does polling and that sort of thing.
The state auditor and inspector, Jeff McMahon, was indicted by a federal grand jury in January on 9 counts of conspiracy, fraud, and racketeering with the conspiracy that went on for 5.5 years. And has he stepped down yet?
No. Well, he has been suspended from office. He's not. He's no longer running the day-to-day affairs, but he hasn't actually resigned from office.
It sounds like a kind of a Wild West sensibility. Is that typical of
Oklahoma politics?
Corruption
has always been a problem in state government. With him, I think it's probably more complicated than you want to get into, but he became involved with some people that he shouldn't have been involved with, I guess. It's some people that he was actually regulating as part of his duties.
Well, we've seen a lot of politicians get involved with people they shouldn't get involved with. That's been a problem right here in New York State. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We've been talking to Randy Krebel, who's a staff writer for the Tulsa World, about Oklahoma on today's States of the Union segment. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, riding my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Away down yonder in the Indian Nation, a cowboy's life was my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.